This is White Mountain Rescue Without a Trace, Part 8. Last time we just wrapped up the Out of the Woods phase with everybody, learned some interesting secrets about our various first responders, namely Mike Hester's being adopted, and his original birth name was Michael Whateley. If you know, you know. And then also, we had learned more about Dallas Bartmoss's secret operations and ambitions. Behind some events, or rather researching some events in the in New England over the years, and something that was obliquely referred to as Project Prism. I guess we'll find out more about that. But yeah, let's take a look at our first responders. Roddy Lops is clear of conditions, so is Mike. Hank has impatient, and Dallas Bartmoss is hobbled. Although I will say, Dallas Bartmoss, I think we can change the wording of it because it's been some time. You're no longer hobbled, but I think you're just got like what's
Limped.
yeah, I think at this point you can just say like a heavy limp.
Got it.
Yeah, just because without support, you know, you're kind of keeping pressure off that leg. Well, that's a very good question. Does Dallas have some sort of top
Mobility
quality
aid?
medical mobility aid thing that
Absolutely.
yeah,
Yeah.
like a hydraulic like leg machine or something like
You've heard of carbon fiber, but get ready for tungsten fiber, everybody. It's the brand new lightweight metal that has been developed by Bartmoss Data Solutions. We use it in all of our cabling and everything like that. And I have, in my recent experiences, have decided that we need to make sure that accessibility is a top priority. Thank you so much. I love you so much. That mobility is a top priority in
Was that
Bartmoss
Brian in the background for
Solutions.
a second?
Yeah, that was Dallas Bartmoss's assistant providing them with a Reuben bagel. But also
Thank
that was my partner Brand giving me a Reuben bagel. So thank you so
you,
much.
Brian.
And is also making coffee, which is fantastic.
Hell
But
yeah.
yeah, no, yeah, is now using like a mobility aid, a walking cane that can extend a little bit into a walking stick, and is pushing to get a bunch of those like sent out for very cheap and reasonable prices.
Fuck yeah. All right, cool. Love that. Let's go ahead and mark those new end of session questions if you wanted to change any of them up. Don't forget to get those experiences in. I don't believe we have anything. We did want to say that last time we did have a vulnerable scene between two of our first responders that did not resolve what the takeaway would be from that, whether it was going to be a clue for a future rescue or a question about their past. So if we wanted to explore the thing between Roddy Lops and Sergeant Hank there, I believe it was Roderick's stress reliever. So then Roderick, you get to choose whether you'd stumble on a clue for a future rescue or if you'll invite Hank to ask you questions about your past. I need to turn on my office light, but hold on. All right, I'm here.
Wait, so I can't ask Hank questions about his past.
No. So yeah, you can either
Okay.
invite him to ask you about your past that you must answer truthfully, though not necessarily completely, or you can just stumble on a clue for a future rescue.
Hank, do you have opinion? I know this is my decision, but Hank, do you have narrative opinions on this?
I don't think anybody, I've never seen anybody do the clue.
Then let's do the clue.
Cool. So after I introduce the next rescue, you will then tell me what the clue is as a flashback to your scene with Sergeant Hank. It cannot, you know, as usual, conclusively answer a question by itself, but something about your scene with Hank, you will like recall in flashback of like, oh, wait, this might be connected. So very cool. Then.
I think it helps that we were setting up the instruction room with all those, you know, we had all kinds of things that we were setting up that could like trigger the clue for the flashback.
Then
Absolutely.
let's go ahead and introduce the next rescue, the Snowbound Geocacher. Frankie Styles is a well-known geocacher who is social, who's a social media influencer in the outdoor adventure recreation industry and is known for his brand of extreme geocaching, as well as his online publicity stunts. According to his YouTube channel, he has built an unlawful structure in the White Mountain National Forest out of trees and materials in the area and is calling it Fort Kick-Ass, and was planning on hunting cryptids in the early snow this fall. The early snow soon turned into Snowvember, and New Hampshire has not seen this much snow in the fall since 2011, when 2 to 3 feet of snow slammed into the region. This upcoming blizzard is preceded to dwarf the 2011 snow. Frankie Styles was reported that he was braced for it in his hidden fort in the woods. Then last night, he reported he and his technical support, Steve Mackey, were not alone, and something big was trying to get into Fort Kick-Ass. He has posted no new videos since then. His illegal trespassing and possible endangerment has the NFS and the Sheriff's Department's search and rescue teams out looking for his undisclosed location as more snow continues to fall. I have an establishing question here. The NFS has his fort's location narrowed down to a couple locations near Mount Passaconaway. And which of you has the highest reason? I believe that is Hank. Hank, based on images captured from Frankie's videos of him building the wilderness fort, what part of the Rob Brook Valley do you think Fort Kick-Ass is hidden in?
Based on the images that I saw, the still captures, the screen captures of from YouTube, it looks like he's near this ridgeline to the north of the valley. I'm pretty sure I recognize that ridgeline.
Your vehicles are parked on the Rob Brook Road, and you are disembarking in mid-morning to try and locate the fort in the softly falling snow. So we basically jumped forward in time a little bit. Last rescue was around like the June, July area. So it's been a couple months of a relatively uneventful business. So we're entering the early fall. Let's paint the scene. Each team member describes what their cold weather gear looks like and whether they are using cross country skis or snowshoes for deeper snow.
I think Hank's got standard issue National Forest Service snowshoes, which are metal and plastic. They're a little brittle, but have been patched together by Ernie Gearing in the shed.
I think Roderick's snow gear looks almost exactly like his regular, just bulkier. He's still got like the BDU pants with full pockets, but it's just more layered, and he's definitely using snowshoes. This man is not skiing. Like, that seems hazardous.
I know you gave this as an either or option, but I have to choose a third option because I have a 4x4 ATV, and that has been tricked out with snow treads this time, so it's like a less of a we're on wheels, but more we're on treads going across.
Funny you mentioned that, because that's actually a rule in this I'm about to announce for you as well. So yeah, that's cool. Love that. Mm-hmm. We're all waiting with bated breath for Dallas Bart Mosses.
Yeah, let's go ahead and mark one of these blocks really early. So
let me go ahead and read this then real quick, so you can see, because this affects the benefactor and the ranger. So it says that if the benefactor is on the team, they can additionally supply individual snowmobiles for each first responder without having to mark a box. The benefactor just needs to describe how the snowmobiles look. Similarly, if the ranger has the 4x4 ATV move, they may substitute a well-used snowmobile, affectionately called the sled, instead of their ATV. So
Okay.
So Mike has an additional snowmobile that's coming out of storage.
I think everybody gets to the staging area, and they definitely are like, they have their snowshoes and everything like that. Mike, if you have your sled or whatever that is, cool, whatever. But you will see Dallas Bartmoss sitting there talking to a guy and then nodding and then doing like the tap pay over each other's phones and then doing predator and then dapping up kind of thing. And then Dallas will go, excellent. I'm so glad that you're all here. Okay, perfect. This is going to be an intense search and rescue operation. And I thought that we needed some intense fucking gear. Am I right? Am I right? Am I right? So feast your eyes. Hit it, boys. And then pulls off the tarps. You see some of the wilderness boys have pulled off the tarps. And you see like sky blue with that, like, you know, like sea dew where, or that boat paint where it has the glittery flecked off of it, so that it's high vis. You see the sky blue then with like tree like wraps and everything like that, like different like pine branches, pine cones, things of that nature, of these snowmobiles that have two treads in the back and then one tread in the front. It is three tread drive, so it's not just working off of skis and then treads in the back. They also shoot snow out the back of them. They plow through so they can get like most efficient pushing through the snow and everything. And on the very front of it, you see the U.S. Forest Service's logo emblazoned on each of them. And you see that your names have been stylishly painted into the side. So you do see like a Roderick, quote, Roddy, quote, Lops. Then you see a Sergeant, quote, Sarge Hank McBride. And there's a little Mai Tai with an umbrella in it that's been stickered onto the side of it. And then you see Mike Hester's, just on the side, just like put like printed in the side on it. And then you see Dallas Wildcat Bart Moss, like in the other one, and just looks at all of you and goes, "What do you think?"
I didn't know your nickname was Wildcat.
Yeah, it comes back from finishing school.
It really fits. It really fits, Dallas.
That's I like it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, take your time with them. They are pretty, you know, they have some get up and go to them. As Mike knows, Mike uses an ATV and everything like that. But I'm pretty sure Mike could show us the ins and outs of how to use them and everything and be able to use them super effectively so we don't have to worry about anything. Is that right, Mike?
Yes.
Perfect.
Pay no attention to the fact that I'm highlighting some of y'all's conditioned spaces. This is just me doing a visual reference for myself of who has phenomena from previous things. This does not affect your boxes anyway. I'm just kind of color coding them just so I have a visual reference of who is affected by multiple phenomena. And so I'm just keeping that just as a temporary thing. So don't worry about it.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Very cool. We have... this is our first rescue with a threshold question. Yeah, that's actually part of the reason why I chose it, because I don't believe many of the other rescues have threshold questions. Some of them do, but not a lot. We have, is the geocacher simply orchestrating a hoax, or have they inadvertently attracted fatal attention from some unworldly entity at a complexity 6? Answering this question, you'll unlock the next appropriate question. We also have the Crown of Frost available for this rescue, where each first responder narrates a flashback to a moment they were extremely cold. And also, it's worth noting that this is a rescue with really, at least on the outset, no other side characters around. This is just you guys on the job out here in this stretch of wilderness. So, I mean, always, you know, if it comes down to their moves and interacting with other people, just that's a thing. But like, yeah, like as far as like on the scene activity, you guys are just arriving in this part of the wilderness, in the valley. Like, you're just out there. This is not the kind of place where there's like a camping ground nearby. There isn't like a station near. You know, this is just the wilderness. So we are getting to explore that. Let's take a quick 5 so I can grab more water and everyone can think about some first interactions they want to have. All right. So we begin with our first responders driving through the snowfall into the valley in question. This small valley runs southeast and northwest, with the jagged ridge of Owl's Cliff rising up from the snow-covered forest to the north and Mount Passaconaway blocking the south. Snow is about 14 to 15 inches in places, but it is still gently falling. A small, unfrozen stream runs the length of the unforested center of the valley. Let's paint the scene. What about the dark clouds overhead make them seem more ominous than usual for snow clouds?
I'm going to say that typically we could see where the sun is. Like, we can't see the sun, but we can see the glow where the sun is. But I can't tell. Like, you could tell me what time of the day it is, and I wouldn't know, because I have no idea where the sun is.
Go ahead.
The shadows that are being cast by the clouds are creating it sort of like the shadows by the trees, as though they seem like extremely long claws on the ground.
Dallas just keeps on thinking about how these clouds look ominous enough, like something out of Dallas's favorite childhood movie, The Page Master, or out of Night on Bald Mountain or something. It's just really deeply affecting them.
Oh my gosh, can't top that. But the clouds feel low. They don't feel far removed from us. It's almost like they're closing in on the space.
Very good. Okay, let's get a little bit of a first responder group role play here, just for a moment, because you guys are arriving on the scene together, and as a bit of it's kind of like telegraphing some of the locations available to you here out of the gate. So you're in the valley. There is this stream that runs through the center of it that you can go to. There are tree lines on either side of the valley that expand into like forests and stuff like that. So there's a lot of stuff around you, obviously. So this is our first like real like deep in the wilderness rescue that will kind of be a bit more open with how you guys approach things. So let's go ahead and just get some on the scene role play.
I pull up. I guess I cut the engine, or I slow the engine down, and I wave over at Mike, and I think yells at Mike. Mike, are we going to be able to get in those woods with with these snowmobiles?
Should be. Typically, the trees are fairly, like, they look more dense than they actually are because of how heavy the snowfall has been. So it's more or less that you don't want to go on in full speed. You want to be a little bit careful and brush away, like, the outer edges. And once you get past that first barrier, you should be good. Sort of like an umbrella.
I wonder how this Styles character got in there. I'm not seeing any. I don't think I'm seeing any, like, way in.
From what I've heard of the initial reports, it's more that he came in before the snowfall, so any paths that he had taken would be covered up by now. So, like, this is going to be difficult.
Can Dallas get off of the snowmobile and start kind of, like, looking around, like, under, like, near the tree line and everything, and see if there's any kind of signs of like how animals are moving through, or if there seem to be like any pathways that they're taking or any pathways they're avoiding.
Yeah, Dallas, you can, I mean, like hike up in that over in that direction towards one of the tree lines. So Dallas, surveying the surrounding environs, begins to step through the thick snow off towards one of the sides of the valley. So Dallas begins to walk over in that direction, kind of away from the group.
Careful, don't go too far.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see if I can see. Typically, if you follow the smaller animals, they kind of show you which paths are more well-trod and which aren't and everything. You kind of see on top of the snow, though, just yelling and everything. Has put a fix on the end of the mobility aid, a little, like, spread, like, star asterisk kind of thing to help with, like, snow. Like, it's a little snowshoe, yeah.
That's cool. I mean, once you get up to the tree line, I'll have you make some rolls, but for now you're kind of like hiking it over in that direction.
Perfect.
But I can leave, so while Dallas walks away, leaving you three.
Hank, do you go ahead?
Looking around for wilderness boys, do we see any? Because we're out in like a a non-wooded area.
No wilderness boys. I would nothing yet.
I'm thinking about going.
And then they approach like Planet Hoth. They start crawling out of stuff. They're wearing. No, I'm kidding.
I'm going to go up this creek and then bank right back around to the tree line. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that'll close them off. I don't know if anyone wants to come with me, but we're going to have to get in these woods sometime.
I don't think anybody should go alone. These conditions are way too bad. If someone gets lost, I don't want anybody freezing to death or some shit. Listen.
Does anybody want to go with Dallas? Not it.
Listen, Mike, you want to go or me? I don't care which.
Oh, you're in.
Hey, does anybody want to walk with me just so I don't get lost? You know, two by two, stick together like glue.
Oh,
great idea, Dallas. We'll send somebody with you.
Fabulous.
Great.
And I look at Mike. I'm like, you want to go with me? No?
Oh. Oh, goody. Hold on. I need to reconnect.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
It looks like it's you, Roddy.
Drawing straws. All right. Mike Hester just fades into the void. Would rather fade from existence than spend any amount of time with Dallas Bardmoss. So relatable.
Why don't you send Mike over? Us two together, we could really carve.
I think let's focus on Hank and Roderick because it sounds like Mike was going. We're gonna Mike by default.
Okay, yeah, we'll send Mike over. He's real good with this snowmobile. I'll go with Hank.
Very
perfect.
Good. I'm sure Mike is thrilled about that.
Oh yeah.
Then in that case, Sergeant Hank, Roderick, you two walk over closer to the frozen stream. It's about 4 or 5 feet across, still running for the most part, only getting kind of like collecting frost at the like edges of it. Mm-hmm. Some thin ice has formed on the sides, but nothing substantial. The current is pretty steady with only a few large rocks in its path that make it twist around them. Let's paint the scene about the stream. What birds appear to be watching you in the snow from their perches on dead tree limbs?
I wish I knew birds from Maine better.
It might be creepy if they aren't birds from Maine, so therefore use just general bird knowledge.
I'll do the state bird is the chickadee, which is a small little snowbird that's got like a little black cap. Mm-hmm. And what's weird about it, the reason why Hank even notices them is they're like sitting in like groups of three. It's really odd.
Have you ever seen a butcher bird? These birds, they kill things by impaling them on spikes. Yeah. And there is a butcher bird or two impaling a small rodent on a particularly sharp tree limb. Almost as if making eye contact with us while it does it.
I think we see there is a family of King Eater. They're E-I-D-E-R. They're a type of duck that they have nuzzled together in a little hollow. And they move in closer together as like the snowmobiles get louder and closer as well. And then just kind of looking outside and just making quiet little quack, 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 that kind of noise out there.
I think there's just a chicken for some reason. A single chicken.
And Chaotic, for your reference, before you disconnected, Mike got voluntold to go partner up with Dallas.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I said I'd send Mike over. He's real good with that snowmobile.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Two by two, stick together like glue. Very good. So let's cut over to you two then. Dallas, Bartmoss, Mike comes walking up from the others to join you as you two are walking towards the nearby tree line. It's not like a hike, but you two are hiking over there. Let's have this initial scene between you two as you're walking towards the tree line.
Mike, glad you can join me.
Dallas.
How are you feeling, by the way?
All right.
I just know that things have been pretty heavy for you recently, and so I just want to check in, make sure everything's okay. Like, I know we don't get along really well, but and I have been very intense, quietly, just kind of being an annoyance, a nuisance recently. So I apologize. I really do.
I kind of figured that stuff would be a little bit worse for you. Like you did find, like when we were out, your last fell into like a pit trap.
So been working on some brand new types of forms of just like medical aid and everything at Bartmaw State Solutions, utilizing, the weaving and wicking of different types of spiders in the local area that have really high tensile spider silk, and been able to make new types of gauze with that. And it's been really helpful. Like, if you want to, when we like set up base camp or something, I can show you my leg and everything. It looks pretty gnarly, but it's healing at an exponential rate. But enough about me. I talk about myself way too much. Here, and goes ahead and pulls out a thermos, and you can smell coffee from it, and just like sips from it and offers it to you.
I will take it. I'll take a sip.
Perfect. Keep you warm.
On either side of this small valley are tall, dark trees. Mainly evergreen, but some others are mixed in there, scattered about, as well as small brushes on the edge. The snow is clinging to the trees that make the interior forest appear dark and foreboding. Let's paint the scene. The forest on both sides seem impenetrable. Describe some ways the team might be able to get in.
It looks like where the creek is coming from, a lot of the trees have fallen from erosion, and so there's a break in the tree line from where this creek is coming from.
Yeah, it seems as though that this particular stretch of the forest has like these big briar bushes, so like it seems that it's funneling us to this one particular point.
And I think some of the snow is soft enough. It looks like maybe an animal cleared it. Maybe it fell more from the trees than the sky, and it was just sort of, you can maybe plow through it with the snowmobiles that shoot the snow that Dallas has lovingly provided for us.
And finally, there is a river stream off to the side that is completely frozen over, that could be trekked on foot. You'd have to leave the snowmobiles behind, but it could be trekked on foot, that kind of thing. Just off to the side, though. Pretty dangerous, though. Risky. But, U.S. Park Services, U.S. Forest Services.
Makes sense. All right, go ahead.
What do you think we should keep an eye out for? Just, I know probably looking for smaller tracks and everything can help show us exactly where to go, but do you think this a character like this, what kind of signs of life he would leave behind or anything like that? Maybe a selfie stick or something.
Probably not. Typically with these geocachers, they like to hide their sort of tech things. So like it's not going to be obvious. They're pretty big on camouflage and whatnot. Probably the most things we're probably going to be looking out for is like the noises, because like they, for as much as they like to assert that they're experts, like they run through the forest just very loudly, crunching on anything. So with the snow, it may dampen things and cause a little bit of an echo, but still we can find out more that way.
Excellent. How about we do something, some kind of exercise? Exercise it in Tibet. Love the people of Tibet, and just heartfelt feel their struggle every day. But just you want to like just kind of stop and just listen, just like nothing. Like try to hold your breath and everything, and just kind of focus on the sounds that we're hearing around us.
Sure.
It's like meditation. Perfect. And Dallas is going to like stand and look directly at Mike, and I'm gonna and Dallas is gonna hold out their hands and say, "May I?"
Why?
It's important to maintain just a complete and honest connection when we're doing something like this. It's very important. I wouldn't be doing this if I hadn't been taught by one of the monks in Tibet, Nanda Parbat specifically. Beautiful area.
Okay. And I will hold at Dallas's hands, like.
And Dallas is just going to look intently into Mike's eyes and just start just listening. Trying to syncopate, like get the rhythm of the breathing, just like in tune with each other.
Then why don't I'm so interested. This sounds like a search move plus composure for focusing on listening to your surroundings and just calming the mind, Dallas Bartmoss.
Perfect. Perfect. I don't have any items that would help with this, but that's okay. yeah. Is it plus, how do you say plus one or composure? One might say that I could use sensitivity because I am using something of medicine. No, I'm kidding. It's not bad. It is a 5 and a 6 and a plus 1. That is a 12.
Which means you get a mountain clue.
I get a mountain clue. Yep.
Plus a regular clue. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Roddy, it's a chicken. Holy shit, what?
Jesus. Let's see here. I'll go ahead and give you your clue. And then I'll have the mountain clue come up in a moment. But let's see here. Because you're just listening. Oh my goodness. You take in the sounds of the forest, distant bird calls, the wind picking up the snow, tinting your cheeks red as the frost is nipping. And I think you hear strange howls coming from far away, deep in the forest. Maybe coyotes? Question mark? That's kind of disturbs the sound for a moment, but other than that, you just take it in slowly. Jump back over to the chicken adventures of Roddy Lops and Hank McBride.
I think he did have a chicken in his in one of those YouTube videos, Roddy.
He brought a chicken out chicken, here?
I think he might. This chicken might be coming from his fort.
Why the fuck would he bring a chicken out here?
There's so far out, there shouldn't be any chicken.
I don't think y'all got wild chicken. Hey, little buddy, no, you want to come
that
in?
That is a domesticated chicken, Roddy. He was probably going to eat it. I don't know.
Is it a pet? Hey, little dude, you good? You want to come here?
Where'd you come from? I'm going to look for tracks in the snow to see if the chicken is coming from the woods, maybe from...
Incredible. And don't forget, by the way, B, that you owe us a flashback to a clue that Roddy saw during your scene previously about that can apply to this. So while you're thinking about that, let's have Sergeant Hank McBride, why don't you roll the search move plus your reason? Well, I'll say, I think impatient might get in the way of this.
Well, let me roll an additional die to go with my 2 and my 4. Okay, that was a 3. So it's a 5, 6, 7.
Ooh. Hey, not bad. Clue with the complication. Hey. Love that. You have an idea for something, B?
Yes, I do. And I'd it actually to relates it. To what Hank is looking for, because if Hank starts looking for tracks, Roderick's also going to kind of look around the chicken, see where it's come from, see if there's other chickens. And as I'm looking at the snow, I see not chicken tracks. They're odd looking. And I try to think, because I don't have like a tracking certification, and I think, damn, I really should have gotten that. And I think back to when we were decorating the classroom, and Hank had all of these educational posters, and one of them was about what animal tracks looked like and what various, you know, how you can tell these little different paw prints apart. And it's not one I recognize from all of the paw prints, all of the little tracks. It's not one I can remember. And I made note of them because I thought, I need this. I don't know these.
Go ahead and add that to the clue list for this one. I love that. Let me take a look here. If you're looking at tracks.
Mm-hmm.
You do see, I will say this does not count as a clue, first of all. This is just a detail. There is a trench made from packed snow that is difficult to tell if it was animal or man-made, since it's beginning to get like filled up a little bit by the snow. But it does seem to be a bit of like a pathway into the tree line through the woods a little bit. It's a bit of a followable trail. The forest is dense, but it does lead kind of like deeper, and you do kind of like see this kind of like carved out trench in the snow. As for an actual clue, let's see here. Actually, I'll actually take this clue from the list and stack it on top of that. I'm actually going to say that this if this was an, you can't tell if it was animal or human still, but like if it was an animal, it must have been something like large plowing through the snow, like maybe something the size of a bear. But it's, you still aren't able to tell. So that is your clue, is that this like forest path has been carved out by something large, plowed through, whether it's a large animal or some kind of machinery or something like that, you don't know, but that is your clue. As for your complication, take a look at your stuff here. I think all of this cold weather is not exactly Hank's favorite thing in the world. You're a little damp, and the dropping temperatures, you're starting to feel some like stiffness in the gloves, and your hands are getting a little cold, and just you're starting to take I'm going to give you the condition. I don't want to phrase this. Uncomfortable, just because on account of all like the cold like weather and like the water and the dampness seeping through, you are just uncomfortably damp.
I'm gonna spin a crown to avoid that.
Okay,
and I'm gonna go with the time amongst the rocks, which will change some of my stats, so I'll no longer have the highest reason. But I will.
Daniel has committed that he wants to speed run Hank, so I'm nervous now.
So he feels uncomfortable, but he just kind of like, he just lets it go.
Shrugs it off. Sure. Dallas Bartmoss, your mountain clue. As you were standing there, just taking in the sounds of the forest and the valley around you, and breathing in deep, just looking directly at Mike, unblinkingly, one might say. Do you ever look away, or are you keeping that eye contact the whole time?
I think if there's ever a moment of Dallas looking away, it's not, I'm never breaking like facial contact with Mike. It would be just to look just to the left or the right of Mike after probably hearing those howls and everything. Like just right behind Mike and everything.
You see, for a moment, looking towards the tree line, what you at first assumed to be some rolling fog, there is a white mist that is slowly moving through the trees against the direction of the wind, leaving frozen needles, branches, and bark that it passes encased with a layer of white hoarfrost. And then you're just kind of like just watching it spread, and it suddenly shift and starts flowing in your direction through the tree line, making a cracking sound as crystal-like ice forms on the branches. As it gets to the tree line, then just kind of then diverts path again and goes deeper in. But it's almost like it sensed you move towards you and then backed away and left. That's a mountain clue I will throw onto our list here. I want this to be... I'm going to have this actually be the risky move for you, Dallas. Less for the facing something you fear, but this is literally facing an aspect of your obsession. And so I guess just like, what are you afraid of happening if you should lose your composure? Lose your resolve?
That I would essentially let go of Mike and get lost myself in the woods like this geocacher, just wandering after it wordlessly.
Go ahead and roll plus composure. Your heavy limp is not going to affect you in this.
That is a 5, 2 plus 2 plus 1.
Interesting. I mean, right away, you drop Mike's hands and you see this patch of unnatural frost. And if nothing else, this is probably one of the easiest gets for you. And you are going to, in full action mode, very quickly drop all sense of you know, meditative, listening, spiritual self. And hoisting your pack, you go sprinting off into the tree line, trudging through the snow as best as you can manage with your limp, desperately chasing after this unnatural mist.
Dallas, where are you going? Dallas!
I think I'm going to spend a crown. Because I don't, it's a little bit too soon for Dallas to run off, but I'm going to spend a crown of the forest. Just like looking at that mist. And seeing it swirl and then looking enticing and everything. And Dallas is going to hear Mike and stop. And then shake their head and then look back at Mike and nod and say, "You're right. You're right. I'm putting the cart before the horse."
Your complication then will be you take the condition marked by the mist.
Perfect.
Roderick, you're looking at a chicken.
Hi, buddy. Do you think this thing knows how where this guy is? I don't know how good chicken's sense of direction is.
These aren't chicken tracks, but if that chicken doesn't settle down, I'm afraid Mike's going to shoot it. He might say something like it's an invasive species or something like that.
I will tell his ass off if he tries to hurt this chicken.
Well, it's an invasive species.
Is it? It's not even.
It's not a forest. This is a forest. It could.
I could scoop this thing up.
Contaminate the ecosystem. I don't know.
So I'm gonna eat it. I mean, that's the worst thing that'll happen is whatever made these tracks will eat it.
I like that. I like that idea. Because if there's a chicken around, it might not eat us. It'll eat them. Because those things are about the size of a bear, probably.
I mean, a bear? Like a... Like, you mean an actual bear or something the size of a bear?
Something the size of a bear.
Could be I'm gonna be mean because I can do this because I'm the keeper. Roderick, I'm just going to give you the condition marked by the chicken because that's way too fucking funny. I saw that in the chat. And I'm just gonna
what
you,
does that mean?
This chicken has fucking imprinted on you and you're just being followed by the chicken.
Fucking Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I love this thing, actually.
Is it leading us to Frankie or is it following us? I can't tell.
I don't know. I guess it's all right. I'm not going to name it.
I'm going to say this right now because this is a challenge mode, right? If you can go this entire rescue without the chicken dying, I will let Roderick add the chicken to his equipment list at the end of this rescue.
You have no idea how much I want to do
that. B, I swear to God, if you don't spend every single crown in your fucking disposal and make sure that chicken lives.
Babe, I'll mark every crown in the mountain if I have to. I will retire this character for this
now,
chicken.
Now, we do have a line against harm to pets and domestic animals. We have nothing on wild animals, but I'm not, even if there's death involved, it's not going to be graphically described. It's gonna be gone. A thing. It's gone.
It's just
yeah.
gone.
Yeah.
Something will happen to the chicken. It'll become McNuggets, you know, it's something like that.
Or
yeah.
you know, or it might just wander off into the woods. Depends
exactly.
on what's going
something
on.
Something might happen to the chicken.
Something
bad
might
things happen to chickens.
I have owned chickens that bad things happen to them all the time, but not this one, because I will spend every crown to keep this terrible little bird safe. Okay, well, we got a chicken. I don't know if this is gonna help. But maybe the guy will hear it and.
I'm hoping it goes back to Fort Kickass, wherever that is.
Yeah, maybe this thing knows where Fort Kickass is. It's
maybe he had other animals. Maybe he had other animals, and it's not a bear, but it's like a, for all I know, a pig or something.
Why the hell would he bring this many? Why would he bring a chicken? Much less other animals.
I don't remember how long he was planning on staying out here.
Oh God!
But he's an extreme geocacher. I'm proceeding with caution.
I guess anybody who names their fort Kickass needs to be approached with caution. I don't think that he's really prepared for out here. Is he, little buddy? No.
Incredible. Dallas and Mike, what are you doing?
Thanks, Mike. You heard the howls, right?
Yes, the presumably coyotes.
Maybe coyotes, maybe wolves. Whatever they are, that's probably near where our geocacher is. Probably communicating each other about like food or something. And though we didn't hear a lot of them, though that could be where we need to look towards.
Yeah. Coyotes aren't usually a threat to human people. They are to smaller animals such as pets. This is why you should keep your cats inside.
That's what I'm thinking. That chicken that we saw earlier, what if there's more? What if our geocacher brought a bunch, like a whole coop out there? And so
that's a good point. Yeah, that I know like Hank or Roddy are probably going to say like the chicken isn't like some sort of like I'm gonna hurt it or whatever, like it's just a chicken, like they're not an invasive species or anything like that.
Yeah, they just kind of hang out.
Yeah, they're domesticated animals, so like they're not gonna do well out in the wild.
Mike, thank you for taking that moment with us. I think it's really gonna help us out. Let's get back to the other two.
The gently falling snow is beginning to increase in size and intensity a little bit. The snow is picking up, and you two, the two separate groups, reconvene. Roderick has a chicken.
Hey, y'all. We got a new recruit.
Sorry, no, B, you have to say what you just put in the chat out loud.
I do, okay. So
there's no way that's not canon.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, actually, Sergeant Hank typed in the chat, Roddy, do not let Mike see that chicken, and I said that Roddy scoops it up and puts it in his jacket. And so the chicken kept following me, so I just scooped the little dude up and just kind of, he's in my jacket, and it's just...
Okay, that's...
Hey, y'all.
It looks like we got two ways in the woods here. This frozen creek and then this animal trail. And I don't know if the snowmobiles can go on. Probably not the frozen creek.
Oh, no. I don't think, like... we would have to, like, test it about how thick the ice is. And that would take, like, a while.
What about what about this animal trail? Do you think the snowmobiles can go down this one?
It looks fairly decently wide. Seems like deer come here through fairly frequently, so yeah, it should be big enough.
You guys want to stay together? Or you want to split up, and one of us go with the creek, and one of us, the other group, go Because I think they're going in the same direction, sort of.
Up to you. Each of your snowmobiles are outfitted with a pair of Bart Moss skis. And
I actually like the idea of one, because it's the tree line on both sides of the valley. One side has the trail, the other side has the stream. So it's like it's more dramatic that way. Of like there are two different like paths that go in different directions.
Yeah,
make it seem a bit more pressing to choose.
Oh yeah,
let's just in case, let's go ahead. And when we need to meet back up or anything like that, or if we get to the end, just so we can keep an eye on each other if we're going to split up, let's go ahead and use these. And Dallas is going to grab a bag and open it up, and you're going to see thermal imaging, like IR and like infrared goggles inside the bag. And I'm going to mark one of my state-of-the-art everything boxes.
For enhanced team optics?
Enhanced team optics. So yeah, thermal goggles. They're the Splinter Cell ones where they have like the, it's the two and the third on top that you can like flick down. And just going to pass them around to each of you.
All right. So I will reveal two relevant clues either at night or in low light conditions, which I will say that the increasing snowfall will qualify as that. Eventually we will get some of that.
Perfect.
Well, since Dallas, since you're hurt, why don't you take one of the snowmobiles up this animal path, and then I'll take the frozen creek with these snowshoes. I'm not much of a skier. Thanks. Those look really, really good. Those are very expensive. And I don't know, whoever wants to go with Dallas, whoever wants to go with me, we can split up here now and
someone needs to go with you. You can't be going on that creek by yourself. That ain't safe.
No, that's safety first.
How about since Roderick?
Yeah.
Since you've got the chicken and everything, do you think you're going to be able to pilot that snowmobile?
I mean, maybe. I've never done it with a chicken or one-handed.
Why don't you go ahead and go with Sarge there?
Okay.
And just make sure that like everything's taken care of and everything, and that, you know. Yeah, you don't scare the chicken or anything. I don't want you to be going 60 miles per hour and then all of a sudden the chicken freaks out and you know, then you got a extra crisp.
I get my gear off the snowmobile and I lean over to Mike and I say, Mike, now watch out because Dallas is acting real nice and that always makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, he almost went. They almost went into the woods by themselves. Yeah, I think they want something out of the situation. I'll keep an eye on them.
Thanks, Mike. Let us know, give us a shout on the radio if you find this unlawful structure.
Yeah, I'll give a shout to like if we find more chickens.
Yeah, that would be a good sign because this thing ain't supposed to be out here. I don't know why anybody would bring a chicken out here in the winter.
He's an extreme geocacher.
Is that what they do?
Yeah, he's like a social influencer, does extreme geocaching. And I think geocaching was a thing like 10 or 15 years ago. So this is next level, I'm guessing.
I guess. I'm not on the internet. I don't know.
So it sounds like we have Hank and Roderick and then Dallas and Mike again. Okay, very good. Let's start with Dallas and Mike because you two are going the animal trail. Yeah, stepping onto the forest path.
Yes, Queen. Animal trail. Slay. Sleigh bells.
The forest is particularly dense, which would make it impossible to use your machines off trail. But it's large enough that you can drive down here. It's very quiet. The trees and the blankets of snow just kind of give that wintry muffling of sound, the way it just deadens just any kind of sense of ambient noise and just gives this kind of like eerie quiet. Let's paint the scene. Snow in big chunks falls from the branches, dumping onto the pair of you two. From the sweat and snow, what rare dry spots do you still have left?
So, Dallas's mom always told them, wash behind your ears. But Dallas never had to wash behind their ears because their ears, behind their ears, are characteristically super dry. Not a lot of grease or buildup or anything like that. It's been a doctor. So, like, everything else is just drenched in sweat and everything like that. But, like, the ear inside Dallas's earmuffs that are underneath the cowboy hat, like the Stetson hat, are just as dry and nice and warm as possible.
I'm going to say Mike wears wool socks and the thick wool socks, and they wick away moisture, so his feet are still dry.
I'm going to say, since Daniel gave Mike one, I'm going to give Dallas one more. And I think inside your gloves are still dry, miraculously, at least for now, because they're really fancy gloves. And, like, they have some weird thermal layering that's probably not even legal here, but you've definitely got it.
I think... Yeah. I really don't have a better answer than this, but I think, like, just generally because it's the closest to, like his body. I think Mike's underwear is still dry, thankfully.
What are you two doing? Just set the scene for us. I'm going to describe what's happening with you two.
Do you think Mike would be in the lead and Dallas would be bringing up the rear?
Probably. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Mike is, like, trailing ahead, making sure, like, we're heading through the snow at the right direction rather than it, like, building up so much, like, we get stuck, like, because, like, that is a concern with, like, how this heavy snowfall.
Yeah, I think Mike can overhear Dallas talking to themselves. And I think there's a moment where it's like the wind dies down a little bit, and you can overhear Dallas is, like, narrating, almost like a narrator for, like, an audiobook or something. It's just saying, the cold wind cut deep into Dallas Bartmoss's bones as they were riding alongside their fellow U.S. Forest Services Ranger, Mike Hesters. Mike, in a attentive position, like a watchdog or even a prairie dog overlooking all the horizons behind trees, ready for anything that's would jump out. Yeah, that's pretty good. Sounds pretty good. Yeah. And just, like, talking to themselves at, like, at any moments. But just, like, looking to you to kind of, like, lead us through this to get to the other end.
Oh god, that took me out. Dallas, I would appreciate not being called a dog.
Okay. Can we say, like, a wolf, or just, how about a gargoyle, a silent sentinel overlooking everything? You have, like, a very, like, noble, watchful eye to your figure. You do cut a distinct figure in the snow.
Speaking of distinct figures in the snow, there's something kind of up on the bank, the snowy bank, kind of, like, up ahead as you're kind of, like, weaving through the tree line. As you get closer, you see there's a bunch of like branches, like, jutting out, but oh, those aren't branches. They're wood, but they're not, they're like wooden poles with filed tips shaved. They're spikes that are jutting, like, that were kind of, like, stuck into the snow, kind of angling outward towards you, but not like something that you could, like, easily run into, not like a trap. They are kind of threatening. I have a question for just you two, because you're the ones affected by this. How can you tell the wood devils left these here for you to find?
Because they look just like those fucking scarecrows from before. God damn it.
One of the little scarecrow husks has a little walking stick it's holding. Mike.
Love that.
Okay. All right, buddy. Settle in. Are you seeing what I'm seeing, Mike?
Yes. God damn it, not again. I don't like those things.
You've got a gun on you, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay, so we see one of them. If you hear the words, "Who are you?" like that, don't walk towards it. Just frickin' shoot it, okay? Mm-hmm. We'll ask questions later. I'm normally a ask questions and then shoot later kind of person, but I think with these characters, I'm going to try to inspect the area around the scarecrow husk things a little bit more in depth, see if I can see any tracks or any other of those little holes.
Go for it. Go ahead and roll plus reason. No conditions affecting you here. What is Mike doing?
I think, like, as like we're pulling off and getting off of our snowmobiles, Mike is like pulling out like some of his equipment and whatnot, and like I think just in general, like pulls out his rifle just in case, because I don't trust these things. They're gonna hurt Dallas, aren't they? Just know it.
I got a 5 plus 1 plus minus 1, so that's a 5.
Fantastic. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let's see what Mike gets. Oh, no, Mike's not making a roll. Mike was just getting gear.
Mike is prepared to roll after.
Yes. On a miss. Something very large rapidly moves through the forest behind you, Dallas. You didn't get a good glimpse of it in the dimness. It's either a very large dog or maybe even a deer or perhaps something else that runs deeper through. And indeed, in the stirrup that follows, you hear soft cicada-like buzzing coming from your left, your right, ahead, behind, increasing, getting closer and closer. And then you hear, "Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?" Let's cut over to the other two while we think about that. I have to say, just a preemptive star again to the mechanics of having people who can experience the threats from previous things still keep showing up. I'm a fan of that because it allows me to really just throw everything at you guys. Oh, so good. You guys are following that kind of like frozen over stream into the forest. And this is not a proper trail. So you are amongst the trees. Everything here is very densely packed together, almost impossible to move with any sense of expediency. There's not enough light getting through the upper branches of the pines to allow for much underbrush. Ducking branches and sidestepping fallen logs, half buried in the snow, is definitely required. Let's paint the scene. The snow either filters through the limbs or falls down in big chunks from branches. Describe how you maneuver through all this mess while keeping an eye out.
With difficulty, I have a chicken in my arms. But it's not like the first time Roderick's maneuvered through all of this, and so it's very slow going to avoid getting just absolutely pummeled by branches and big chunks of snow, you know, but it's better slow than, you know, falling into one of those holes under a tree or something.
Hank is looking up and down and side to side. He's looking around a lot more than he normally would. I think normally he just looks at the ground and walks, but he's looking up to avoid these big like sliding chunks of snow. And he's trying to do what Mike and Dallas were doing. He's trying to listen to see if we hear any anything that might be in the camp.
Well, given that you have some of those thermal imaging equipment courtesy of Dallas and you are in a more dim area, I will give you guys some clues that you two found since you two are in the midst of this. But on top of that, Hank, if you also want to roll reason while looking around out here, you may do so for some clue finding.
Yes.
Let's see about your conditions here. Yeah, I think, I mean, I could see impatient getting in the way here, obviously, because, you know, kind of doing a quick scan, like we gotta move. Hold on, someone's knocking at my door, I think. One second.
Ominous.
Spooky.
I wish I
Who are
had
you?
chicken flesh.
Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?
I just need some gear. That's what I need.
Yeah, I'm going to be talking to old Mr. Gearing here soon.
All right, continue.
Did we get to put the did we get to add the snowshoes as our weather gear to our personal
I
items?
don't believe it said that was a thing you do.
Okay, so it's just kind of there.
Fictional positioning.
Fictional positioning.
So I'm going to have to roll with disadvantage. And you said
Sounds like it.
reason.
Yeah, reason.
My reason's lower now. So, yeah. That's a five.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and describe things that Roderick finds.
Do I need to roll, or is it because the
No, because you're
apples
going to
and
get the two
eggs?
freebies.
Oh,
I'm going to give you the two
Oh,
freebies.
no. Sorry.
I think part of the complication that is behalf of Hank here is that there's a some splitting up happening. It's just like you guys are kind of like separating and like looking at different, not too, you know, you're not intentionally going too far, but like you're going in that direction, he's going in that direction. Just kind of wandering. It's easy to lose track of one another as things get colder and colder. For the two freebies, first of all, you spot some tarpaulin like canvas coverings, actually like through the tree line. Thanks to those thermal goggles actually are helping a lot, actually spotting things. You can kind of move yourself over there and see that there is stacks of these kind of like boxes that have been put like had a tarp put over them, that if you throw the tarp back and kind of like brush off some of the snow, it looks like various, like there's cameras, like there's some microphones, like recording equipment that seems to have been brought here by the geocachers. You kind of like find this stack of their stuff that's been otherwise left out in the snow but covered to protect the stuff inside. That's one of the clues you find. The second clue is you hear behind you as you spin around. There is a easily 7 foot tall Yeti behind
Like,
you. And it's a fucking Spirit Halloween animatronic that's just kind of half in the snow. And it's one of those motion activated ones with the glowing eyes.
motherfucker, Jesus, oh, Hank.
You yell out Hank's name. I think for your complication, Hank, I'm going to say the in the woods, the temperature is suddenly dropping and the wind is picking up, especially out here in the trees where like the wind kind of gets naturally funneled and like blasted through here. You're going to need to make the risky move, either with vitality to find some shelter, and this will apply to Roderick too, or using reason to get some technology to warm up from your pack. That's your complication. It's just some danger here as you are kind of being exposed to the elements.
Am I at a disadvantage?
With impatient, no. So which one are you going to use, do you think?
They're both a plus one, so I'm good.
All right, and Roderick, this will apply to you as well. Are you looking for shelter, or are you looking for to kind of like warm yourself up with some of the gear you brought?
Probably gear
All
because
right,
I
then
don't want to
you'll use
stop.
reason. Yeah,
Yeah.
and Hank, which one are you doing? Are you gonna
I'll go with shelter.
Okay, so you're looking to like brace yourself some like somewhere nearby where the wind. So you'll do vitality, Roderick. You'll do. I mean, what are you both afraid of happening here?
Hypothermia.
That makes sense.
I'm afraid there's going to be like a medical emergency, but I'm also going to be involved, so I can't help.
Makes sense. All right, go ahead and roll.
9. I've got 9 this time.
Right. Oh, dang. I got an 11.
Very nice. Yeah, Roderick, you can go ahead and narrate what you bust out to keep yourself nice and warm against the elements. Sergeant Hank, I will let you also kind of like narrate what shelter you find, but the complication here is I'm just going to give you a chill to the bone as a condition.
If we're not separated, I'm going to use that tarp in those equipment boxes to like get under that, shove them out of the way, and make a wall.
Ooh, yeah, I like that. I like that. So you're just going to take chill to the bone, and then as a condition, then and you kind of like you know use it as like makeshift impromptu shelter to get like kind of underneath like this little box fort with the tarps over it, to kind of like which is flapping a little bit and like a tenting out from the wind, but it's relatively well protected. It's oiled, so it you know kind of like keeps out the wind a decent amount.
Okay. Question. Yes. Could I spend a crown to get it to a 12 plus and help Hank?
You will get an extra, the extra advantage won't help Hank, but I will say it will be an extra advantage if you want to get it to a 12 plus.
I'll save it for the chicken.
Okay, save it for the chicken. Yeah. Okay. It's an 11. So just narrate what you do.
I think, there's like one of those little, heat packs. Like, you know how you can, the handheld ones, like how you can like that the chemical kind that you can kind of like stick in the fabric of your glove. I think I have one of those to keep my dexterity. So I don't like, you know how like when your hands get really cold, you lose the dexterity and be able to not do stuff. So I think that's probably what happens. I also kind of put it on the chicken a little bit, like not like directly against, but I know chickens need to keep warm, and Roderick has become emotionally attached to this chicken.
As the winds pick up, we cut back to the other side of the valley's tree line. Dallas and Mike, you hear on all sides these whispering voices of the wood devils getting ever closer, and you don't see anything. The snow is reduced visibility a little bit, but like you, even through the tree line, you don't see any shapes. You just hear a lot of things on all sides. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Well, I'm ready to shoot anything that comes near Dallas. I believe you were describing like something sneaking up on him, on them before.
I described something passing by in the background.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I think you see Dallas just go, "Oh no, not this shit again! Not this shit again!" Dallas Bartmoss doesn't go through this shit twice, and then immediately unclips the whip that is at their side, because I didn't get to actually use it, and is just sitting there and cracking it, and like it's like it, here's a who are you, and it's going to sling around and like start cracking it towards that side.
You have a whip?
I've always had a whip, yeah, since the beginning. One of you gave me the whip.
This is Mike in character. Yeah. I'm just surprised that you have a whip, because I don't think he has seen you like take it out before.
Yeah, I did some ranging in Montana after college and everything. Like that. So essentially going to try to like kind of fight, like it's keep people back if Mike wants to, whatever they are, if Mike wants to start pulling out the blicky. And
this will only be the risky move, since this is more of a facing something you fear than a facing total ruin.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that this is going to be plus well, it's going to have to be plus sensitivity, just on account of the fact of dealing with some supernatural shit to begin with. Mm-hmm. What are you afraid of happening here, Dallas?
I'm afraid that I'm going to look like a fool and I'm going to whip myself in the face.
Incredible. Go ahead and roll plus sensitivity. I don't think marked by the mists is... No, this doesn't have anything to do with that mist thing I narrated. So that's fine. I'll just say that, yeah, this is a separate phenomena. So you can go ahead and just go
I will
flat.
Mark my
Oh, you're going to mark the whip. Okay, so you can take the three.
So
yeah,
I'll get the advantage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, perfect. That is a 13. 5
fantastic.
Plus 6 plus 2.
Go ahead and narrate what happens here. And also how you guys kind of get out of the immediate situation.
I think we kind of got like about like 10 feet away from the snowmobiles as we were like investigating the area. And I think there is a moment of like just we do see Mike and Dallas working in tandem as whatever these shapes that are moving around us and everything. You'll see like Dallas will whip almost in front of them enough for it to divert. And you'll see Mike not really knowing what Mike is shooting at, but Mike is shooting and is like bagging targets that like are moving and then fall into heavy snow brush. And then the snow goes up and then just settles down. So you're not really seeing what's actually being shot, but they're just moving backwards towards the snowmobiles until finally Dallas gets on theirs. And then Mike gets the side of his, firing one more shot, turning them on. I think we even see Dallas turn Mike's snowmobile on for him. So he just has to hop on, put it in drive. And then getting out of the area immediately and just hauling ass down this trail and just both of them just shaking their heads and like focused on getting out. But like, you can definitely see Dallas just like grinning, just like it happened. We did it. We worked together. It happened. We're going to be best friends now. No, but that kind of thing.
Yeah. It just like we're driving off and it's just like, I'm just keeping my eyes out just in case like any of these shapes start following us. Just like, I don't think we've entirely lost them, but we're still getting away.
There's some rocks up ahead. And this will be your advantage. I want to give you a clue, Dallas Bartmoss. You see some rocks up ahead, but kind of like amidst the bottom of them, you actually make out what look to be somebody in a silver winter coat, a blue fuzzy hat kind of sticking out as well, pulled out of the head. They're kind of like lying at the base of the rocks. What do you do? It's not terribly far from you. It's just, you know, you just have to like walk off trail for like 20 feet.
I think I'm going to click to the radio and I'm going to let Mike's, I'm going to, Mike, I see something off to the side. And I'm going to stop short and I'm going to hop off real quick. The whip's still out and make my way over there.
You walk over and the silver coat and the blue fuzzy hat are interspersed by splotches of red as you get closer. As you approach, you realize that this is not a living person. Scruffy beard. And from the report, this seems to be Steve Mackey, the sound and video technician of Frankie Styles, and you have just stumbled onto his mangled corpse that's lying broken out here off the side of the trench by these rocks, bent in odd directions, blood coming out of compound fractures, his skin pale, eyes glossed glassy over as he's already beginning to like freeze slightly. Just little bits of frost, and he has just been broken and mangled.
I think we see Dallas fall backwards and almost like that scene from The Nice Guys where Holland March stumbles across a dead body outside of this Hollywood party, just goes, my.
Let's have it be the risky move for just stumbling into something scary again immediately right after you. Perfect. What are you afraid of happening if you lose your nerve here?
That I'm just going to run off into the woods, just seeing panic, a dead body, yeah. Just panic and run off in the woods.
Okay. Composure? Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead and roll plus composure. Yeah. No disadvantage.
Okay. 7, 2 and a 5.
Okay. How are you feeling right now?
I think it would be good to note, what is a good, I can panicked. My pants are warm now. Yeah, I did not wear my pee pants, to this.
Yeah. Wes, I want you to know I've never said this in a CFB game ever. This is the first time I'm about to say these words.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm both disgusted and proud. Take the condition, pissed yourself.
We brought water sports into CFB.
Oh, no. Oh, that's even more cursed.
I thought we were playing White Mountain Rescue, not Arkham Herald. Perfect. Oh, no, fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. As just like, I think you just see Dallas standing there just going,
Dallas.
And just like, Spot just forms in the crotch and everything, just staring at the bot, and just holding the whip, and it just holding like limp off to the side. Mike.
I think Mike is finally getting like off his the sled and just going over.
And just like pointing.
Yeah. I suppose you've never seen a dead body before, have you?
No.
This is a bit weird, though.
Yeah?
Yeah. Doesn't look like a bear or anything like that. And was expect this to be, like, sort of the idea of, like, being tossed off a cliff or whatever. Seen those before. They're real, real nasty looking like this. It's okay. You can throw up a little bit if you want to. I won't judge.
And just immediately, just like a toddler where there's no like issue. It just rolls out and then just looks up and goes, I feel better.
Yeah.
So, we call it in?
Yeah, we call in. Yeah, and I sort of, like turn the radio so it's not just, like, just the frequency between us, but to, like, the entire group.
Dispatch, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We found Steve Makey, real, real terrible shape. We're gonna need, probably, some folks, just a sled, to like bring the body in.
That call comes in for Hank and Roddy while you two are kind of like
ask.
Sheltered underneath the tarp, and yeah, and you kind of get that call in over the radio.
Do you think that we've probably gotten to an area where we should be seeing those two soon? Like we should be meeting up with each other. Like, do we see like the stream someplace?
I mean, we did say that they were on two opposite ends of the valley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If your intention is to meet back up, then I'm probably going to want each group to make moves to avoid getting lost so you can do that kind of search. It would be like risky moves for both groups because mm-hmm. If your intention was to go out in a pattern and eventually reconvene, then we can make some rolls for it. Otherwise, you guys went in two different directions. So,
go ahead and let me know, everybody. I've got a state of the art everything. I don't mind marking that again because we've been pretty useful.
Technically speaking, I still have not used my 4x4 ATVs.
This
so,
is
like,
true.
Yeah,
that's actually completely true.
Once per session, I can scout head to a new location or retrieve a piece of gear. Like, could technically speaking, would be like the meetup point be the new location?
I will say this: we already did have Daniel at this top say that he has a pretty good idea. Well, Hank had a pretty good idea of where this Fort Kickass might be found, and narrated this ridge. If you use your move for that, I will let you find Fort Kickass and you can just go there on the sled. And we can say that the ridge line kind of had it's like, you know, this kind of like crescent like shape that you could have gone from either side of the valley to kind of climb up there, that like that the top of that ridge line where Hank had an inkling as to where it is, like it might have been, can you'll get to Fort Kickass. They will still need to make their way towards the rendezvous point, mm-hmm. but you will be able to get up there first before anyone else. So we can establish mm-hmm. that fiction of like, okay, that is where Fort Kickass is. You're going to get there now, but that is also the point where people agree to meet up and fan out and go up to.
Yeah.
So Are you saying Fort Kickass is real? I thought it was a dream. It's real. It's a real thing. Like we can, Mike's about to go there.
Yeah,
you wrote it, Daniel.
Hey, Roddy, it's horrible news about Steve Mackey. That's bad. The good news
That's
is,
rough.
If I'm stretching here to find a silver lining in this, is that we can get moving and get out of this cold.
Yeah, I mean they are clearly here, but they're not here anymore. And if Steve's in that condition, I don't have a lot of hope for the other guy. But maybe we'll get lucky. But it doesn't sound like it.
Get your chicken. Let's go.
I got him. We're good.
I have to ask, so Mike, are you going up by yourself and leaving Dallas to come follow? Are you taking Dallas with you?
I'm probably taking Dallas with me because they're in rough shape and I don't want to leave them by themselves by a
so
dead
you're gonna
body.
Leave Dallas's snowmobile behind and Dallas is gonna hop on the sled with you because I'm gonna rule that they can only come with you if they're riding on your ATV.
I kind of figured that would be the case because of how the move is written.
Dallas, how do you feel about leaving behind one of the Bart Moss Data Solutions snowmobiles out here?
It's fucking, you just fucking leave it. Fuck it. Fuck it. We gotta get the fuck out of here. I'm fucking done. I'm done with these fucking snowmobiles. Worst fucking invention ever.
I'm just checking safety tools for a quick second.
Oh, no.
Okay, no. I just wanted to, it's just for gross description and that we don't have anything about this. Yes, when Dallas, you kind of like sling your leg over and sit down, there is an audible squish. Yeah, just gross and you're welcome. But you two will head off, tearing up snow with the sled. Roderick and Hank, you two are gonna head up in that direction then. Very good. Snow's getting pretty, it's starting to get pretty dense, not quite blizzard conditions yet. But I am gonna ask one of you to let's see here, real quick. I think risky move for just now that there is some confirmation and happening and Mike is making an expeditious approach up to the top of the ridgeline and things are getting a little bit denser. This is more about, this is less about getting lost and more about getting like, okay, like we're moving with haste and we got to like get up there. It'll be risky. I'm not going to have both of you roll risky. I'm just going to have one of you take point on this and you tell, but both will suffer the complications. Who is taking point on just beating feet to move up towards that ridgeline from your sector of the valley?
Hank is looking pretty, pretty cold and distracted. Okay. So I think Roddy would see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I would initially turn to Hank because I always assume he's going to take point because he knows these woods. He's an expert, but I can see he's kind of having a time. So I pat his shoulder and kind of urge him on and I take point. Keeping an eye on him. And what am I rolling with?
I think, let me ask you, are you being more like just like moving fast? Or are you more of like focused of just like, we're just kind of like keeping an even pace, we're moving, we're determined? Or is it like, we are fucking like moving hardcore through the snow, you know?
I think it's focused because I don't want to lose Hank in going too fast.
I'm going to say you're going to roll. Yeah. What are you afraid of happening here, first of all?
I'm afraid of us getting lost and it taking way too long and I leave Mike and Dallas to deal with whatever the hell's up there.
That's a good trade-off. I'm gonna say that this is plus composure, disadvantage because marked by the chicken. That chicken is very loud and it's very distracting and it's wriggling under your coat. It makes it very hard to focus sometimes and you're really concerned about the chicken. So you're gonna roll disadvantage because you're marked by the chicken.
And I am not letting this little dude go. Okay, let's see. That's a 3, my friend!
Fantastic.
We're probably going to mark some stuff.
I will say, with a 3, that snow is picking up much faster than you anticipated. It's even, it is, you've been amidst the trees, so there's not a lot that comes down through the canopy, but it's getting stirred up by winds. It's making visibility very difficult. The dark cloud cover overhead. Luckily, you have your thermal imaging, but that doesn't do shit for like reduced visibility. It just makes it even harder to see. You guys are beginning to trudge through the forest, and you are straight up First of all, disoriented and lost. So Roderick will take the condition lost. And you will also, I'm going to have you wander into a new location. That is, so you are, so the, yeah, so the complication here is that you are lost. You're going to wander somewhere new and you are significantly delayed from being able to reconvene with your fellow. So we're going to, you guys will have a little side focus venture going on there. The good news is that, I mean, like if you want to mark a crown, only Roderick needs to do so. It wouldn't be a Hank situation as well. But if you don't want to mark anything, then we'll just roll with the situation. So it's up to you, B.
Also, since Hank is involved, I will ask, what do you think? Because what I do affects you very much.
Let's see what this new place is, and then maybe Hank can find the way back to Fort Kickass. Right.
Then. Fabulous. Then Roderick, take the condition lost.
Oh, yeah.
You lost two wander much. Into a depression in the forest that has caused about a dozen or so trees to fall in, making it look like a giant beaver's nest. It's like a smaller version of like the Tunguska crater in Siberia. You know, it's like where all like the trees are like flattened and like laying down. Yeah. Running water can be heard at the bottom of this pit. Closer inspection reveals it is a shaft that is acting as a heat vent, melting the nearby snow. Let's paint the scene. Describe the odd smells around the depression and pit-like chasm.
Sulfur. Absolutely sulfur.
Rotten meat.
Spoiled milk.
Nutmeg?
Alex just lost it.
The fucking comedic timing. God damn it. God damn it. Yeah, okay. That's what you come upon. Ugh.
What the hell, Roddy?
Do you know where this is? Oh, shit, I thought we were going another way. Do you know?
This is not, no, this is like, I don't even know what this is. We don't have, sinkholes here. I don't know what this is. What is this?
I know how to navigate. I've like 3 certifications in navigation. This is like, we should have been in the right spot.
Maybe I'm taking a picture of this with my cell phone.
Is this not mapped? I guess if we don't have
sinkholes. I don't know what this is. I've never seen this before.
Oh, cool. Cool. That's really good.
I'm not looking down in there though.
Oh, Jesus, I'm staying
safely here on the edge.
Yeah, let's navigate around it, please, for sure. I radio in, actually, and if we have signal, if we can hear them over the wind. Mike, Dallas, what's your ETA on
Fort? I'm going to be mean and say that because you got a 3, there is no signal, and you got so low that you are a fucking alone out here.
Oh, shit. Okay, well.
I don't have cell phone signal, but it is taking some pictures of this.
At least, I mean, we can document it, send it to, I don't know, somebody who makes the maps.
I'm going to look around and see if the chicken came out of this. This is kind of hellspawn chicken.
What, is this a chicken pit? Okay.
Posing as like a real chicken, but then it's going to like unhusk and be something.
It's the not chicken?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go ahead and roll search plus I guess plus reason. I'm gonna say that I'm gonna give you just flat roll on this one because I don't think the impatience is gonna get in the way here, and chilled the bone because this is a heat vent, it's a little warmer, so it's not gonna affect you. So yeah, just 2d6 plus your reason.
That gives me a solid 10.
10.
Oh.
Sure, I'll throw a clue your way. You're pretty sure this is not the chicken pit. Thank God.
Thank God.
Let's see what we got here. Just love all these clues. Oh, this is weird. I like this. The pit. You know how a fire pit is surrounded by rocks? This kind of like depression that leads to like the pit is surrounded by rocks as well in like a circle. It's like almost like one of those, like looking at like an indigenous like medicine wheel, kind of like how that has like the rocks, except all of the rocks are lumps of bronze. That is your clue.
I'm going to activate a mountain clue on that detail.
Oh, how so?
With my move flashbacks.
Now, so you share that with Mike, but do you still get to use it yourself?
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, no,
I think I don't get to use it. Never mind.
I was about to say, like, because you got now is your problem. Yep.
I lost it.
You did lose it.
And now I have to pick a
move. But if you want to mark a crown to bump it up to a 12, you have many crowns of the forest, crowns of the mountain, and a free crown if you wanted to get a mountain clue out of this anyway.
I do want to get a mountain clue out of this because it's just too weird.
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't have now it's your problem anymore because I marked that other mass.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to
mark a crown.
I'm trying to see if I got to pick a new primary ability, but I am going to mark a crown to get a yes.
All right, cool. Which crown are you going to mark?
I think I'm gonna mark. I'm gonna die on this mountain.
Oh, you're marking the ancient cliff. Want to go ahead and just read that?
No,
that'll fill me up. Let's. I'm not gonna do that because. Well, I don't know. I think I'm gonna do it.
Okay, so hereafter, during any intimate conversation with another character, despite the topic, you must make a casual reference to death, dying, the afterlife, or the futility of living. You also take the permanent condition: I will die on this mountain.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Daniel was really determined to end Hank, honestly. And hey, crazy. Not the craziest I've seen. I remind everybody that like in session one of my Ghost of El Paso campaign, a player retired his character at the end of that. Like he let his character immediately retire his character so he could go play another playbook. Yeah, wild. All right. Permanent condition. I will die on this mountain. And you'll get a mountain clue. Let me take a look here.
And because I got another crown, I'm going to pick up. I'm getting too old for this shit and increase my vitality by one.
Incredible. Hank. Oh, wait, hold on. How do I want to do this? Fuck it. Let's get wild and crazy. No, I'm going to say that one, but I'm going to do this one instead. Something begins to come out of the pit. And there's like a blast of like steam from the chasm beneath it in this heat vent, and slowly like rising out of the pit is a 20-foot tall just needle of bronze that just kind of emerges from the pit. This little spire of tall bronze just begins to like emerge, and the bottom of the pit begins to glow with a fierce green energy as it emerges. It then disappears as the bronze spire kind of like grows out of the earth, and then it begins to hum, just this low you can almost feel the air vibrating around you. Yeah, I feel like we're gonna just dangerous move this just for the sheer fucking weird factor, and also the potential of this doing something to you. For both of you, what are you afraid of happening here? I guess with this suddenly humming bronze spire that has emerged.
I'm afraid it's going to launch and start like a nuclear war with China. That's what Hank thinks.
Yeah, that's what Hank thinks.
I'm afraid it's going to launch. Yeah.
I'm afraid it is like that portal that I got zapped by and that this thing is going to just shoot out like arcs of of that weird electricity. Like it feels like maybe it's that, because that green glow reminded me of it, and I'm worried we're both just going to get the shit shocked out of us.
Yeah, it's worse than that for you, Roderick, because yeah, you'll get killed. It'll kill you instantly. It's for Hanks, it's worse than that because it's gonna launch. It's making for Plymouth. Like it's gonna like this like spire of like bronze is being like, it's like a weird fucking weapon that's being fired at your town. Like not just yeah.
I just rolled.
So you're going to roll plus sensitivity, both of you. I'm going to say that Roderick, you have flat. I'm not going to, but
it doesn't matter. I just rolled.
Hank has disadvantage.
It's a four.
Four. Okay. Want to see what Hank rolls.
I'm just trying to figure out how I can use a piece of this equipment.
I'm here for any argument you can make for these.
Here's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
I'm gonna use the Leatherman multi-tool to cut my packs so that I can move quicker and with Roddy away from here.
I take it. Mark one use of it. I'll take it. I like that.
Okay. Sensitivity?
Yep.
Seven.
I will say that for you, Hank, you can do it. You'll be able to escape. We'll see what Roderick's condition. We'll see what happens with Roderick here in a moment. But your complication will be that since you are cutting your equipment, you must lose one item in your personal items. You must remove it one because it gets left behind in the snow. Something you have on you gets left behind.
It's the large net. Goodbye. Okay.
Works for me.
Saved Mike's life once.
Yeah, you, well, then you are able to move very quickly and get out of there. This thing doesn't do any launching. However, there is green lightning that arcs along its shaft and bolts out and strikes through Roderick, dropping him to the snow, smoke coming off of his burned carcass, eyes burning with green flame for a brief moment. And Roderick's dead.
We're gonna mark a crown.
Which one do you think about marking?
I mean, since it was a mountain clue that got my ass, I think that time amongst the rocks would probably be real appropriate here.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Then go ahead. I'm going to give you the condition, the hum.
Oh my god.
And there is no lightning, but that resonance gets deep into your bones and stays with you, attuning you to its nature. You have the hum.
Oh, damn. Okay.
But the two of you can beat feet from that area real quick. Let's have a little bit of aftermath between you two real quick, then we'll jump back over to Dallas and Mike.
Oh, Hank, you good? You good? You okay?
No.
No? Okay.
I am not, but I'm pretty sure Fort Kickass is this way, but no, I am not good.
Okay. Are you injured? Are you, like, physically good?
No. Let's just keep walking.
Okay. Yeah, let's just go. What the fuck was that?
Can I hold the chicken for a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Please. There you go. Yeah, please. Actually, yeah, it's real nice. It's real chill.
Oh, and yeah, I didn't narrate that when the lightning hit Roderick in the other timeline, you hear a and just like feathers shot out all over the place under his jacket.
Yeah, I pass Hank the chicken, like holding it by its like little wings and help him stuff it under his jacket. And yeah, it's real nice. It's warm. Yeah.
Very warm.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, let's cut back to the other group. Pulling up to Fort Kickass.
Mm-hmm.
Up on the ridgeline, coming out of the trees. It looks more like a rustic log cabin with a small tower on top than an actual fort. clearly made over several weeks in anticipation for snow, as set for Frankie Stiles. There are other snowmobiles parked out near here. Inside is a small damp room with shuttered windows and a wooden ladder up to the tower. And a group of people are in here.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Let's see. There is a few of them. There are four in total. And they, as you're kind of like walking in, they all kind of like turn for a moment, as if they're expecting someone else, but then they see, your National Forest uniform. And they look a little nervous. One of them, there are three women and one man. One of the women, kind of goes, "Oh, hey, welcome. Hey, come on in." She just kind of seems a little awkward. She's, early 20s. Her hair has been dyed multiple colors. She's got like motley ski gear on and, with like lots of neon shades and cross country skis. So they kind of like all, they got these like disparate kind of like ski kind of like looks between all of them. They have some like thermoses out, like they're drinking like something. It's hard to tell what, but like they all look a little bit nervous now that our park ranger has just shown up.
You best be glad that that currently we're focusing on other matters besides this, and I motion towards the probably illegally built fort, Kick-Ass.
Hey, like, we didn't build it. I mean, we helped Frankie find like some spots, and we. But yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, seems very nervous in your presence.
Yeah. That's not the what's important. Is that Frankie is currently...
No, he's gone. He's missing. Yeah, we know. Yeah. One of the other ones says, "No, that's why we're here. We're trying to find Frankie. He's never like acted like this before, and we're like trying to find if he's all right. Like,
are you all friends or fans of Frankie?"
One of the girls leans over to the guy and says, "Holy shit, is that Dallas Barmos?"
Oh
yeah. Hi, everybody. Yes, Dallas Bartmoss just volunteering with the U.S. Forest Services. Trying to find Frankie, actually.
Question. When was the last time you saw him, and was he traveling with Steve Mackey?
One of the other, like the guy says, "Oh yeah, Steve is Frankie's like sound and video technician. I mean, we last saw him like in person when we when we were helping scout out some locations. Usually, you know, it's been a couple months since the original scouting, and it's been he took all of his videos." He unlisted a bunch of his videos that pertain to like the thing up here, which he never does. So we were coming to check on him because Frankie doesn't take down videos. I mean,
okay, so you really don't know what's going on. All right.
Yeah, the woman, which by the way, they introduced themselves. The first woman was Jen Stanhope. The other guy is Finn. And the other two women are Doughty and Riley. So they're kind of these other renegade extreme geocachers who are like, they were saying like, well, originally, and Jen's like, we were hoping to like be the first ones to find like Fort Kick-Ass as part of the geocaching thing. Mm-hmm. Like once it went public and live, but then he took all the videos down. So, I mean, we came out here not as part of like the challenge, but we're just trying to make sure that Frankie's okay.
Oh, okay. I would recommend that you head back down.
Down in this weather? Are you fucking nuts? I feel safer just sheltering during the snowstorm here, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, why don't that's not a bad idea, Mike. How about we go ahead and get a get everything set up around here for them? What do you say? Make a base camp, get some food going. Maybe we can figure out if we can get Roderick and Hank back up together, all form together and everything. I've got plenty of supplies. And you see that Dallas has already started to set up a base camp, and I will mark the base camp
state-of-the-art
everything.
My God.
Go ahead and read that.
Yeah, so base camp. This includes tents, supplies, and communications coordination for long-term searches in the wilderness. Team members may make a vulnerable move by having a scene at the base camp.
That's fucking useful for this. We have been stacking up things. That's great. Go ahead and describe the base camp at Fort Kickass.
Yeah, so I think...
I'm going to say that there's a trade-off here, because I think this is awesome, is that setting things up is still going to take time, and also they were delayed out in the woods as well. So by the time, like, people get here, it's going to be, like, getting dark out. This is going into, like, nighttime operations.
Yeah, I think just a lot of, like, just glow sticks have been cracked and marked along different areas, and Dallas has taken some of their own, like, tents that they had, and all of like, and your tents as well, Mike, and set them up for like our individual places, but it's taking these other tents and using that like tungsten fiber material to like kind of patch up holes in them. And there is like a camping like stove in the middle, like a Coleman, like nice portable, but like you unfold a portable stove and everything in the middle. And is setting up like those emergency blankets that are like the metal foil blankets, setting them up as like tarpaulin on the side of the room. So there's insulation within this kind of cave area. And so like all our own body heat and everything is circulating within the room and everything and making it kind of warm and cozy. And then also you see Dallas start unloading the saddlebags from the snowmobile. And it's just a bunch of those, like, if you've ever been to Sundance or been around Sundance, that like cozy style, like very heavy wool blankets with the different kind of Western style patterns on them, just putting them in different places, making a nice little lounge area. And it's just brewing coffee and has a tiny little radio set up with an antenna and like a small foldable antenna, and is trying to see if it can coordinate any kind of like pinging.
Yeah, Mike just sighs at all this shenanigans. I think just generally I want to take a look around the log cabin to see, like...
Yeah, so let's... I was going to say, we're about to lose Daniel because Daniel has to hop off early. Let's take a 5-minute break, and when we get back, we can say that Hank and Roderick arrive up at the base camp as well, and... Hank will just be busy speaking with some of the geocachers on all of them, and then we could possibly close out the session with some with a vulnerable move between someone and maybe some like investigation that kind of, and as night falls over the valley. So let's take 5. All right, we're gonna I feel like what we'll do is we will do just one more scene to wrap up. We can have 2 first responders doing a vulnerable scene together, and one of them can be doing some searching, I guess, or like do some like additional clue finding. Who wants to do a vulnerable move at base camp? I feel like Mike doesn't need one, actually. So I was gonna say, like, Mike, it sounds like Mike is going to be doing some searching, and then we can have a scene between Roderick and Dallas then. So then let's, first of all, whose stress reliever is being used here?
I think that we can go ahead and... Do you want to be studying for your advanced certification while we're waiting for, like, figuring out what we're doing next? Or do you want me just to be, like, around the fire getting, like... food cooked up and everything?
Yeah, it's like nighttime now. Your breath is visible before you. It's the snow is still coming down heavy, so you have like a tarp set up, and like there's like, you know, and it's just it's bad.
It feels more appropriate for Dallas to be talking about their philanthropic work because of the situation. Like, I don't think Roderick's in the headspace to study right now. Shit's
Fair
crazy.
Enough.
I am holding a chicken though. If Hank is not still. Hank might still have the chicken, and that's very fine. He needs it emotionally.
Fair enough. Then set the scene and roleplay.
Yeah, I think we've got Dallas just around this like campfire with his camp stove and everything, breath coming out, is making some like decaf coffee, and like finishing up getting some like just taking like home fries and other vegetables and putting them on this like cook stove, but then has like a bunch of meat wrapped in aluminum foil on the campfire. And just looks over at Roddy holding that chicken and goes, you attached that thing?
I mean, I couldn't just leave it out there, you know? I mean, these things aren't built for the cold. Freeze to death. It ain't even supposed to be out here. So, I mean, it start following me. But, you know, we'll find a place for it later.
Okay. Find a place for it later. Where do you think we're going to keep that?
I do not have a plan. Do you have a plan? You sound like you have ideas. You have this tone of voice you get when you have ideas.
Okay, so riddle me this.
Okay.
All right. We got plenty of space out in the backyard at the headquarters, right? At HQ. We got some of that old like mowing equipment that's just rusting in the corner and everything like that.
Yeah.
I was wondering, what if we got together and did like a department, building? We made our own chicken coop, and I guess Hank Jr. or whatever you're gonna call this guy over there,
Well,
did.
now it's Hank Jr. I didn't have a name, but now it is.
Okay, Hank Jr., I like that. We build a chicken coop and kind of just have like our own. It's a way to have like sustainable breakfast and everything, I guess, just start having a couple. You can't, we're gonna have to get another chicken. I
We
hope you
will
know
have to get
this.
multiple chickens.
They
I don't
cannot
think
be by themselves.
this is literally, I don't know why you'd bring out a single chicken here.
That does remind me of a time when I was in Guatemala and we were doing some like road paving out there and everything, and like all sustainable, by the way. We're using some bark moss treated asphalt and not that like Ruta stuff that they use in most places in the States. But there was this family that we were staying with, and they had a couple of their chickens die and they just had one left. And this guy was just wildly depressed. This chicken was just like
Chickens can
not
get
eating.
depressed.
They can get depressed. Absolutely.
That's terrible.
So I went with Remiel, who is the 14-year-old son, took me into town and everything, acted as translator. And we just stumbled across this lady who just so happened to be selling so many chickens. And Rumiel completely told me, said, like, this lady's devastating. She had no place to keep her chickens. But my father had all, and I was confused because, like, these chickens were staying in a bunch of, like, cages all together. But they,
Yeah.
they seemed to have a home at this lady's house. But Rumiel was, like, determined, like, they'll all die if they don't have a place to live. And my father has a place to keep them. And so I was like, you know what, Rumiel, don't worry. I've got the money. And so I bought every single one of those chickens and I brought them to Remiel's house. And Remiel's father was overjoyed, and everything. And Remiel was happy as well. That lady seemed kind of disappointed though, like she didn't want to lose all of her chickens. I don't speak a lick of Spanish, but I'm pretty sure I did something. I mean, I gave her a lot of money. She could just start a new life,
Yeah. Man,
Weird.
you know, Dallas, you're a really nice person, I think, when it gets down to it. It sounds like you do a lot of really nice stuff, and I know you're always trying to help. I know it's not always like easy to help out here. This isn't like your whole bag, but I think I just want you to know, like I appreciate you being out here. I think it's real sweet of you.
Well, I appreciate that. I try. I know I can be a bit intense sometimes, but
Hey,
ultimately, I just want to do what's right.
sometimes you get intense about stuff you care about, and I think that's okay.
Absolutely. I think Mike's warming up to me a little bit, though. I think Mike's starting to see that, I have like a little bit more going on with me than just the money and the devilishly good looks and the impeccable sense of fashion and everything.
And Mike's his own guy. He's got his own stuff going on. He's just kind of gruff. I don't think he's got a huge beef with many people, and I'm sure you two will get along eventually. It seems like you two got me. You got here faster than me and Hank did, so you're doing something right.
I reckon so. Anything you want to know? Anything else about Dallas Bart? I mean, we've got plenty of time here. Anything you want to know about Dallas, old Dallas Bart Moss?
Man, I mean, I know you've kind of answered it a little bit, but for real, not just because you like philanthropic work, why are you volunteering with the National Forest Service specifically so much, like on the ground? Because you don't got to do this stuff. You know, you don't have to do search and rescue like you do. So what really made you want to do this in particular?
This is a perfect time to answer Crown here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to change which one it is because this actually, that's an excellent question. You know, Roddy, there's been a lot of weird shit that I've seen out in the woods. Working in tech in San Francisco, you deal with a lot of types that are kind of like me, rich, intelligent, but they're disconnected from what's going on in the real world and everything. And a lot of these types would like, oh, going hiking with my family or going to, you know, Provo to snow with the family or to ski with the family and everything. And I just kept seeing all of them overlooking and what they were doing to this world. I mean, did you know that Taylor Swift one time took a private jet from, it was like a 3-hour drive from one part of California to the other. And that expended so much fuel, and that's destroying our ozone layer and everything. And I would get so angry at my peers because they would do similar things like that. Just destroying nature for their own enjoyment. And I would yell at them, I'd push them away, and I'd say, nature is something that you must respect and uphold and appreciate. And every time we see something weird out there, wood devils or those little strange scarecrows, it remind me that the woods are something that should be respected and feared, but also they're unique. We should be cherishing them, keeping the things that are out there safe out there so that they don't hurt anybody where we are. And doing private, in the private sector, philanthropic work, you can only do so much with that. There's so much that are red tape and your hands that are being tied without government oversight. And honestly, the U.S. Forest Services is the best way for me to make a difference. It's a way for me to use Bart Moss Data Solutions money to make sure that the things that are out there stay out there, and the things that are with us and looks around the camp are with us. And if that means I have to go out and get impaled in my leg or see a mangled frozen corpse, then I'll keep doing it. If it makes a difference.
You know, that's a, and this is no disrespect to you, it's a lot more noble than I expected.
But I do also love that money.
Let's cut over to Mike. What are you doing out in the cold snow, the light of the base camp visible, the chatter of conversations cutting through the wind? What is Mike getting up to?
I'm taking a look at the structure. I'm comparing it to the maps that I have. Just seeing, like, where is this placed? What could potentially cause, like, this person to, like, want to erase this location off the map? Because, like, he took down the videos. Because, and he's been told, like, that's not something he would normally do. He's hiding something.
Go ahead and roll plus reason for the search move. Mm-hmm.
That's a five.
It's a five. Okay. I'll preface this by telling you my reaction will involve giving you a mountain clue, and that will unlock the next layer, which will be the Knight of Verdigris that starts during the Out of the Woods phase. Once this is over, there will be a thing. So I'm letting you know, so like, unless you mark a crown, I will be giving you your 10th mountain clue as part of this reaction. So before I narrate anything, and then if you decide to bump it up from there, you will not get the mountain clue. You'll instead get something else. So I'm going to preface that now of, mm-hmm. Because I don't want to spoil it. Do you want to go unlock the next layer of the campaign, or do you want to hold off on that?
God, I really want to unlock the next layer of the campaign.
Very good. Mike, you're out in the cold darkness. The snow reducing visibility, your breath visible before you. Bundled up, it gets colder, trudging through the snow. Your boots already a little soggy, though seeping into your socks, but could be worse. You've experienced worse, and you're examining the exterior of the fort. It was hastily constructed, and you decide to go up to the second level. So you start walking up the stairs, and
no,
there is a cold shock that goes through your spine as you realize there were no stairs on the exterior of Fort Kickass, and your hands tremble as you look slowly up to see that these stairs don't connect to the top of Fort Kickass. They're just freestanding log cabin stairs out here in the snow. And you're not alone on them, as at the very top of these stairs is an extremely tall figure in flowing white robes with a massive crown of black antlers, who looks down at you, and a single long finger points, and you hear a voice. You cannot tell if it is coming from the wind itself or if it's just whispering in your mind. You just hear this figure say, "Waitly." And we cut to black, and we unlock the next layer, and let's go to Stars and Wishes.
I'm so scared.
Before we do Stars and Wishes, we gotta do end of session questions. So, yeah. I don't believe there were any echoes in time that anyone did, but mm-hmm. for base and old ones, that's fine. Let's see. Roderick, did you talk about one of your many certifications?
I don't think I did.
Yes, you did.
I did? Oh,
yes.
Oh, thank you.
You talked about like how you had certifications for saying like you know you should have known like where you're at.
Oh yeah.
Thank you, Chaotic. Yeah. I'd completely the Bonspire really threw me off.
Yeah. Did you share your career goals?
No. Right now my career goals are to not die.
Yeah, you take 1 point. All right, there you go. Roderick, did you impress the others with your wilderness skills?
I'm not sure if I impressed anyone.
Did you share your insight about the National Forest?
Oh, yes.
Take a point. Let's see, I'm going to look at Daniels here. Did Hank admit that he was in over his head?
I think he did a little bit because I asked him if he was okay, and he was
no,
like, absolutely
and he just like
not.
We're getting the fuck. Yeah, okay, no. I'll give him that one. So he gets the advance. And did he show anyone that he still got it amongst you? No. That's fine. Mm-hmm. He fills his list. That's great. I'll let Daniel know that he takes in advance. All right, Dallas, did you share your wit or wisdom with the first responders?
Yeah, about the small animals moving throughout. And I think also the stop and listen and meditate with Mike out there.
And did you flaunt your wealth? Yes, you did.
Absolutely. So
you take your two. Very good. All right, folks, jump on into Stars and Wishes.
Star to be, just for like, Roderick is such like a solid, just like a solid companion to have no matter with who it is, is like, and it's just like, I think ultimately one of like the few, like is just a good person through and through on this team. But I want to know more about Roderick. I can't wait to learn more about Roderick and what happened with Roderick. So I'm looking forward to seeing some crowns put on. Alex, fantastic job utilizing the wintry landscape, as terrifying as it is. I love winter horror. I think we've gotten away from the Firewatch vibes of this game, and we are now in the Long Dark vibes. The Long Dark is one of my favorite survival games because it is horrifying, and everybody should go and watch it. Also, Kona. I don't know. There's some Kona vibes. Kona is a walking simulator set in I believe it's Alaskan or Nordic town. I can't believe either or. It's been a while since I've played this game, but the entire town has disappeared and you're trying to investigate and see what happened. Similar vibes to Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, that whole kind of thing. But yeah, the vibes are immaculate. I love winter horror. It's so, and just like winter, just vibes in general. And then beloved Chaotic. Wonderful. I think it was interesting seeing like Mike and Dallas get along. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I feel like these characters are more alike I think they're more alike in dignity. And if you take all of the outside sources of everything else happening, if you get rid of the money and the company and you get rid of like everything else going on, I think it really goes to show that they would, in a perfect environment that is since like a sensory deprivation chamber, Mike and Dallas would get along with each other. But mm-hmm. since the real world does not work like that, they are doomed to not spend time with each other. So I think it's really interesting to see these moments of where like they actually get along, mm-hmm. but then they also have a mistrust of each other. It's a really good combination, a little bit of madness, a little bit of badness combination. Mm-hmm. Also, just Mike is just a lightning rod for weird shit, especially just that
no, it's Roderick who's the lightning rod.
Oh, Roderick
by lightning.
Oh, true. Yes. True. No, yeah, but it's great. And then Daniel, shout out Daniel. Hank is a delight. And then just for making this really cool sleeper hit of the summer game, I guess, that I've experienced. This is probably like one of my favorite unreleased games that I've played in a long time. And I feel so lucky that I'm involved in like, this is essentially a play test. People watching this, you're witnessing Daniel make changes on the fly. He just told us today that he added something to the Out of Woods phase because it felt like it needed it, which I think is like that's just really cool of him. So yeah, that's me. Wishes more weird shit, which is guaranteed. And because me and Alex have also talked about some weird shit. And so Alex has got a lot of shit up their sleeves. I can't wait.
Yes, definitely throwing stars out there for fucking Wes the nutmeg. It was the comedic timing was perfect. Just being like describing these horrifying things without missing a beat, just being like, it was the question mark at the end, just being like, nutmeg. God, that took me out. That was the funniest thing. I got a star again. Yes, Daniel's interactions as Hank with that like no, and then we got to go. This is the first time we've really seen Hank like kind of like unraveling a little bit and being like actually visibly afraid of things and just being like no, like we are leaving. Like that was very strong, and like I'm excited to see how he continues to deal with this shit. I mean, yeah, I just. I really enjoyed getting to see more of those scenes between Mike and Dallas, and then that start of those scenes as well. And I like kind of the suffering that Mike is doing on behalf of. God damn it! I just saw the GIF just looped, and I just saw the text pop up on there, on the base. Jeez. Anyway, yeah. So the stars to that, stars to the scenes with between Roderick and Dallas as well. I don't know, like, I really enjoyed, this was a more open-ended rescue, so I really felt like you guys did some heavy lifting with just, like, exploration of, and just, like, narrating your scenes together, because mm-hmm. the focus was more on your character interactions than necessarily, like, a strict trail to follow. That is a difficulty of this game sometimes, is that, like, there's not really, like, necessarily a strict path of investigation that makes the most sense, and you guys were really doing a good job of living in the environment and just letting the focus be on character interactions that then lead to different things, as opposed to just having, like, because you always, like, you guys give me good ideas, and so that was good. I mean, wishes, I mean, now we have the Night of Verdigris unlocked, so I hope you guys like Stephen King's The Mist. Yeah, and I'm glad that we're leaning more into this Whateley shit too, so I'm very mm-hmm. excited for that to pan out. I don't know, I'm just very excited for these next couple of sessions.
Yeah, I gotta give a star for you, Alex, for your chicken noises. Like, goddamn, like, just like, I was like, oh yeah, there's a chicken, and everybody was like, oh man, there's this chicken, and everybody was so obsessed with the chicken. I didn't hear the paint the scene question, so I was like, what's everybody describing? They're describing birds in weird manners. Like, you know what, I'll just add a chicken here. That's weird. And it was just very funny. Dallas Bartmoss. Oh man, I was very surprised. About taking time to listen, because like, I think that really got to Mike. Of like, okay, Dallas is trying to reach out across the aisle. Dallas is trying to be nice. Let's give back a little. And as well as just being so scared of the dead body. It was very interesting to like see Mike as like sort of a supporting role this session, of like here I'm backup for this character, and like I'm acting as a sort of tool, making sure that they are all right, and like making sure that they don't die. So I managed to avoid a lot of the conditions that got thrown around. So that was very interesting. Roderick, oh my god, you're fighting for your life with this chicken. Just let it go. Don't need to let this bird live.
No.
Also, Hank really was trying to like die. Like, oh my god, like he went from like one crown of the mountain to like three this session. Like he's got only two left. I'm so scared.
Yeah, Daniel, if you're watching this afterwards, holy shit, stars to trying to kill Hank so much. Oh my goodness. Like, wow. And I love that you're leaning into it via the role play. It's really, you're really selling it, and I love it. I love that you asked to hold the chicken. That was very funny. Absolutely, like, stars to Mike for, like, chaotic for introducing the chicken. That's hilarious. But also stars to Mike for, like, you and Dallas's interactions and, like, being willing to meet them across the aisle instead of just being antagonistic, because I think that actually made it way more interesting. I think that y'all's interactions were super interesting. Stars to Dallas for reaching across the aisle to Mike and having this sort of like, you almost bonded, and like naming the chicken Hank Jr. is very good. I loved your explanation as to why you're doing this, that like Wes, like I love like the answer to the question I asked you, because that was really like, it sounded really nice, but I love the little hints you dropped about the otherworldly stuff. That was very fun. and I am so interested to see whatever you and Alex are planning. And Alex stars, oh my gosh, this entire session, this entire campaign, absolutely delicious. You always pull out the craziest shit. I'm never expecting what you're going to do on a failed roll. Like the bronze spire, the robed figure, oh my gosh, the entire Whateley thing, that entire, everybody's like how you're reaching into the backstories and pulling out wild stuff that's interweaving into the main story. It's delicious. It's delicious. And just stars to the whole game. And I agree with, I think everyone said it. I'm excited for more weird stuff. Yes, let's get weird.
All right. Any other stars or wishes? Very good. Before we go, off of the mountain, away from the valley, away from the snowfall, where there are only the slightest flurries that fall through the air, there is a dark road that connects the various towns in the nearby area, a signpost that reads Plymouth, 6 miles. The dark of night blankets this place with a soft fog, and a car passes by down the road. Another car passes by in the opposite direction, headlights cutting through the distance. And another car pulls to a stop alongside the road, puts the hazard lights on, gets out of the car. We never see this figure, only from the neck down. They walk to their trunk. They pull out a bag of sorts and then step off the road into the tree line. And they pull a flashlight out from the backpack and click it on and begin to step deeper into the woods. As we follow the trail of their light, it catches some sort of distortion in the air, a slight, faintly shimmering curtain like heat rising off of asphalt in the hot summer, but just suspended nearby a boulder. The figure approaches this shimmering field and reaches into the bag and pulls out this ancient-looking brass dagger. And they set the flashlight down on the ground nearby to cast light on the rocks. And they take a hand and they run it across the boulder, feeling this soft hum resonating off of this distortion. And the figure just reverently almost seems to just breathe in their closeness to this distortion. They place the tip of the dagger up against it. And they slam it into the rock. And there is a crack as the dagger goes through this distortion, through the stone. Little green fractals spiral out from it for a moment. And a patina of verdigris rust begins to spread out from the cracks, coating the nearby boulder, beginning to touch at the landscape surrounding it. And the figure yanks the knife out of it, just this little glowing green crack, very small. They pick up their flashlight, and they walk back towards their car. As a truck pulls up and someone calls, "Hey, everything all right? Your hazards are on." And the figure stepping out of the woods, who's hiding the knife behind their back, just says, "Oh, yeah, I thought I hit a deer, but I'm all good. Thanks. You're good." And the truck driver goes, "All right." And the truck goes on driving. This figure gets back in their car and drives off, and we linger still on that small crack in reality out in the woods as a small finger-like tendril of green mist begins to seep out, and we cut to black.